Good morning. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where we'll be this morning. At the end of this month, our church is going to be doing something a bit unusual. We're going to willingly divide ourselves into two different locations, two different services in two different places. One here and one in Carrigtwohill on the 29th. We're going to repeat that several times to the end of the year at the last Sunday of each month. And the goal of that is to permanently divide ourselves into two distinct congregations meeting in two different towns. That's the goal. That's been something that we've been working towards for years. It's something that this church has actually done before. About 15 years ago, Middleton Baptist Church gave up a significant group of its members to launch a church in Yall Baptist Church, which continues today. We have someone from Yall actually in there. So Jessica and I were actually part of the group that went to establish Yall. We spent 9 years there before Middleton asked us to come back and start working towards a new church plant in Carrigtwohill. Going back even farther, it was Middleton Baptist Church about 30 years ago that gave up a group of people, including the Whitings and others, to establish a church in Middleton, which is this church. That's where we've come from. And now this month we're taking a big step towards launching a new church in Carrigtwohill. That's what has happened. That's what is happening. But this morning I'd like us to look at 2 Corinthians 5, especially at verses 14 to 21. And think about, why would we do something like this? Why would we divide up a healthy, thriving church like this one when we have such good fellowship together? We can find the answer to these kinds of questions when we remember what Christ has done for us and the work that he's given us to do in the world. And we'll see both of these things clearly in today's passage. So, if you would, look at with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Let's read. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Did you notice here that Paul gives Christians a job title in this passage? He calls us Christ's ambassadors, which means that our church gathered here this morning is an embassy, if you will, of the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that's what you were coming to this morning? Did you leave the house thinking, well, I'm off to represent the kingdom of heaven on earth with my fellow ambassadors? Maybe not. That's not the first thing I think of usually on Sunday morning. But it doesn't change the fact of what we are as Christians. It doesn't change who we are as God's children. We are not just a social club here. We are not just some kind of religious service provider providing weekly spiritual boosts. We are the citizens of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. And Paul calls us ambassadors of Christ. And what do ambassadors do? They represent one nation while living in another. Ireland has many embassies around the world, and each of those embassies exists to represent Ireland in other places and support the interests of Ireland and Irish citizens in those countries. That's what ambassadors do. Ireland sends out her own citizens to other nations to represent Ireland in those places. But the primary loyalty, the primary identity of those ambassadors, the citizenship that they have remains in their home country, even while they live abroad. And Paul says that we are ambassadors of Christ. That means that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, his kingdom, even as we live on earth. And Christ has entrusted to us the job of being his representatives, the representatives of the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's not just a general job that we get to define ourselves. You actually see a specific job description here in this text from God, our King, the one that we're representing. He says he has entrusted us as his ambassadors with a specific message. Verse 19 says he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The single most important message in the world. Hands down, nothing else comes close. But before we bring the message of reconciliation to the world, this message from the King himself, God brings the message of reconciliation to us. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So this morning, I want us to consider first what God has done to reconcile us to himself. And then we'll think about this message of reconciliation that he has entrusted to us as his ambassadors and what that means for us today in East Cork, in Middleton, in Kirktoole. But first, let's consider how we are reconciled to God. That's where this begins. Paul calls us Christ's ambassadors in this passage. If you think about that title for very long, that's incredible. What an honor to represent God himself. But how can we be Christ's ambassadors? How can we have that title given to us to be appointed to represent a king, to represent a kingdom? You must belong to that kingdom. You must be a true citizen of it. In order to become the ambassador of Christ, we must become citizens who belong to his kingdom. And that's exactly what Scripture says that we are. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be a citizen of Ireland. You may be a citizen of another country. You may have the passport and all that, and that's great. We should be very thankful, especially to live in a nation that is free. And we should work hard for the good of this nation that God has put us in. We should be good citizens here. We should be known for that. But as Christians, we cannot see ourselves primarily, first and foremost, as Irish or any other nationality on earth. Our citizenship ultimately is in heaven. Ireland and every other nation on earth is temporary. These nations will pass away. These passports, all of it. Heaven is eternal. So yes, we can be proud of our country. Our country does have legitimate authority on earth that we should recognize and honor. But their authority is derived from God. The kingdom of heaven is the true authority over every nation. Christ is the true king over every world leader, every president, every Taoiseach, every dictator, every person, everywhere. And his kingdom can never be destroyed. It is a kingdom that can never be threatened. It can never fail. It can never have economic crises. It can never have housing crises. It is perfectly just, perfectly righteous, perfectly peaceful, because our king is a perfectly righteous king. His kingdom is a place where humans will thrive fully, forever, in close relationship with our creator and with each other. This is Christ's kingdom. The Bible says that Christ's people belong in his kingdom. We are citizens. We belong in Christ's kingdom. And our text today shows us that the path to citizenship in the kingdom of heaven is a path of reconciliation. To belong in Christ's kingdom, we must first be reconciled to God. But you know, if you need to reconcile someone with someone else, that means something has gone wrong. You don't reconcile people who are already on good terms. You don't need to. To reconcile people, there must be a problem. And the problem that came between us and God is our sin. We're the ones who broke this relationship. We're the ones who turned away from God, who tried to pretend our lives don't depend on him constantly, completely. We're the ones who tried to pretend that we could be our own little kings and queens and not recognize the true king over all things and not come under his authority. We're the ones who lie and cheat and steal and lust and break our promises. We're the ones who sin. The problem is 100%, 100% on our side. But notice here in this text, the solution to the problem is provided 100% on God's side. Verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the gospel in a sentence. The good news of salvation is just plain and simple. It's right here that Jesus did not have any sin to pay for himself. He had no sin, and yet he took our sin willingly on himself, took it to the cross, paid for it completely. Now he gives his own righteousness to his people. And because of this, we who are in Christ are reconciled to God. Look at verse 19. God was reconciling to the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. See, the only way that God cannot count people's sins against them is if those sins are already fully paid for. Otherwise, he would be unjust. He can't be unjust. But this is the good news. The very one that we sinned against, the one who could have judged us for our sin, instead paid for it himself. He who had no sin became sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The problem was completely on our side, our sin. The solution is completely on God's side. It is God who reconciles us to himself. We don't somehow attain this reconciliation, making up for our sin somehow by good behavior, extreme penance, or something like this. God does it. God reconciles us to himself. And he does it through the sacrifice, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is the only way that sinful people can be reconciled to God. Because only Jesus deals fully and completely with the problem of our sin. No religious system, no good works, however impressive they may be, could ever do the job. Sin would still separate us. It is only in Christ that we can be forgiven, and our sins cannot be counted against us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a huge transformation when you think of it. From being sinners under judgment to becoming the righteousness of God. We become the righteousness of God. It's clear in these verses that when we are reconciled to God, everything changes. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. We are no longer what we used to be. We are no longer who we used to be. In Christ, our sin is paid for. We receive his righteousness instead. In Christ, we become a new creation. In Christ, we trade the death that our sin leads to for God's never-ending life in Christ. In Christ, we are citizens that actually belong in the kingdom of heaven. Our identity is completely transformed. The direction of our lives is transformed with it. From sin leading to death, now we have God's power working in us, applying Christ's righteousness to us, to our lives, leading to eternal life, but also changing the course of our lives on earth. Look at verse 15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. In Christ, our life is no longer defined by our sin. It is no longer directed by our own selves away from God and towards eventual death in our sin. We are reconciled to God. We are remade into a new creation. Our citizenship is in Christ's kingdom, and that defines who we are. And that sets the course of our lives. It sets our lives on a path that leads towards God, that leads towards life, towards his goodness, towards his righteousness and love and joy and peace and patience and all the fruit of God's Spirit, as God works those things into us by the power of his Spirit, and Christ's righteousness is applied to our hearts and our lives. But it's not only an inward work that changes who we are from the inside. Yes, it starts there, absolutely. It has to start there. But it leads to a completely different outlook as well. How we see everything. Look in verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Our new identity in Christ, reconciled to God as a new creation in him, it changes the way we view Christ. Yes, absolutely. But it also changes how we see everyone else. We regard no one from a worldly point of view. Our view of Christ, our view of ourselves, our own identity, our view of everyone else on the planet is remade as we become this new creation. So how do we view others now that we have been reconciled to God? Well, look in verse 14. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." Christ's love compels us. It moves us. It gets us up. It drives us forward. And what does it drive us towards? It drives us towards the goal of seeing other people receiving the benefits of Christ's salvation just as we have. Because of Christ's love. Because we've experienced it, and now we start to feel the same about the people that Christ loves. Look back in verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. He says, we try to persuade others. We try to persuade others to find in Christ the same new life that we have found. Verse 14, one died for all. Salvation is already paid for. The gates of heaven are open. Anyone who comes to Christ can enter God's kingdom freely. As a citizen, fully reconciled to God. Even people like the thief on the cross dying beside Jesus, receiving the death penalty for real crimes. And he had no time to do anything good, to make up for his sin in any way. He was dying. And yet when he asked Jesus to save him, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The gates of heaven are open, and God is welcoming sinners, rebels, enemies of God to become citizens of his eternal kingdom. But that does not happen automatically. You cannot come through the gate of heaven on your own terms. You can't come on the strength of your own goodness. You can't come without admitting your sin, repenting, and asking for Christ's forgiveness. You must recognize the authority of the King of heaven and accept his salvation. In other words, you must be reconciled to God. And this right here is the message that God has entrusted to his ambassadors. the message of reconciliation. That God does not count people's sins against them if they will put their trust in Christ. After reconciling us to himself in Jesus, God has now entrusted us to be his representatives, bearing the greatest news the world has ever heard. We are reconciled to God. Let's think now how we bring God's message of reconciliation to the world. Verse 20, he says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." This is a message of urgent importance. It is a message of life and death, eternal life and death. So Christ's love compels us. And we try to persuade others. But the fact that others need to be persuaded means that people are not just okay the way they are. And I know that's not a popular thing to say these days. Our world today tells us to just leave each other alone. Whatever people think, whatever they believe, it's all grand, it's all the same, it's their choice. Don't you dare say that anyone needs to change anything. But this passage, it shows us that this is not the loving thing to do. It is not loving to leave people in a position of being on the receiving end of God's justice for sin. Would it be loving if you went to the doctor and the doctor discovered that you had a terminal illness that would definitely kill you without immediate intervention? But the doctor said, "Well, you know, they might be kind of offended if I told them they were dying. If I told them it took a big intervention, I don't think they would really like it. They wouldn't be happy. So I'm just going to keep the peace and pretend everything is okay, and that will keep them happy." Well, in one sense, it would keep you happy until you died. Would you want your doctor to actually do that? Absolutely not. You would want to hear the bad news because you would want to know the reality and what needed to happen. The answer is not to pretend that there is no problem. And this is the same with the gospel. The answer is not to pretend there is no problem. There really is bad news in the gospel message, that sin is much more serious than we tell ourselves. That God's judgment is really, really real. But there's much more than just bad news. There is good news, and the good news is so incredibly good, it can completely overwhelm the bad news. Life can conquer death. Jesus died, but he did not stay in the grave. He rose again. He walked out of the grave, and we can too. So if we love our neighbors, if we love the people of Middleton, if we love the people of Carrigtwohill, of East Cork, and everywhere, we must tell them the truth. Christ's love compels us to tell them. Because his salvation can be just as effective for them as it is for us. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what they've done. God is reconciling people to himself through Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has entrusted us as his ambassadors with a message from the King of Heaven. And this message is good news. It is the best possible news that anyone can be reconciled to God. That Christ, in Christ, their sins will not be counted against them. They can become citizens of heaven with us. As Christ's ambassador, this is our message. We don't get to make up our own message. We don't get to adjust the message. We are representatives, not of ourselves, but of our King. And the message we have is from him. We can't adjust it. If people are offended by it, then they will be. We can't adjust it if people just want to hear something different. People usually want to hear that really they're just fine the way they are. That's what we all want to hear, isn't it? That sin is not really a problem, that heaven can belong to us on our own terms. But that's not how heaven works. That's not the message that the King has given us as his ambassadors. Our job is not to reinvent the kingdom or the good news of salvation to suit ourselves or to suit the people around us. Our job is to represent our King and to share the wonderful news of what he's done with everyone. And let me say this clearly as well. This message of reconciliation that God has entrusted to us is not only a message that we say with our words. It absolutely requires words. It must be said with words, but it requires more than words. Our words of reconciliation have got to be backed up. They've got to be verified by our lives as well. As ambassadors, we must represent in the way we live the reconciliation of God. People need to see the truth of this message displayed in our lives. They need to hear it in our words as well. They need to see in our lives that we really are reconciled to God and to each other, and that that same love and same invitation extends to them as well. Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The love of Christ compels us. God's love compels us because we receive his love. We are reconciled to him. And then we extend that love to one another and to the world around us. And we extend this message of reconciliation. And I think this is one of the reasons why having a local church embedded in every local community is so important. Because every community needs to hear this message of reconciliation, but not just hear it with words. They actually really also need to see this message lived out. They need to see it embodied and lived out in Christ's kingdom ambassadors. They need to experience the love of Christ through his people as they hear the invitation of reconciliation. And how does that happen? How will that happen? It will happen through Christ's ambassadors, his representatives, the embassies of his kingdom, which we call churches, that proclaim the good news of the kingdom and show the world what it means to be forgiven, reconciled to God. This is why, 30 years ago, members of Cork Baptist Church came and started a new church in Middleton because they saw the need for Middleton to have a local embassy of heaven proclaiming and living out in this community the good news of reconciliation with God. And this is why Middleton started a church in Yaw, so that Yaw could have an embassy of heaven. And this is why we are now planting a church in Carrigtwohill. Because we long for every community in County Cork, in the rest of Ireland, around the world, to clearly hear the message of our King. That God is reconciling people to himself, not counting our sins against us. And we implore everyone, be reconciled to God. What a privilege it is to be the ambassadors of Christ, citizens who belong to his kingdom and share his welcome, his love, his invitation with everyone that we can. I wonder this morning, are you reconciled to God through Christ? If you are not, then the invitation is for you. And we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And if you have been reconciled to God, how will you represent his kingdom this week? How will you be Christ's ambassador in your life, in your words? He has entrusted you with a message from your King. A message that he wants delivered to the world. A glorious message of reconciliation that can remake anyone, into a new creation in Christ. Will you share it? Let's pray. Father, we can never thank you enough for the salvation that you have provided for us in Christ, that you have reconciled us to yourself when we could not do it ourselves. We thank you for bringing us into your kingdom as citizens who belong with you. We thank you that that same invitation is good for anyone, that that same salvation can be effective for anyone. We pray, Lord, that you would make us faithful ambassadors carrying this glorious message. Pray for opportunities that you would provide for us to be able to share this hope that we have in you. And we pray especially, Lord, that you would be bringing other people into your kingdom from Middleton, from Carrigtwohill, from East Cork, from all over Ireland and around the world. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.